it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, college football fans across the nation and around the world. This is Tim May with the Tim May Show and back in the co-pilot seat. You know him. You love him. Y'all think he doesn't like me, but that's wrong. He does like me. He doesn't put up with my BS very, very well, though. I will say that. Spencer Holbrook, welcome back into that co-pilot seat, my brother.
Tim, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me and looking forward to it.
Hey, you know what? You're not just my brother by another mother. You're my brother by another, like, grandmother or something, right? I mean, our age difference is huge. But the flip side of it is we sometimes see things the same way, which I'm not sure what that says about you. But the bottom line is, just wanted to jump right in. I've got a guest this week, Drew Chrisman. He's been on the Tim May Show before, former punter for Ohio State. I had him on just when he was hitting it big. He had finished out a season, the 2022 season, kicking or punting for the Cincinnati Bengals. Everything was on the up and up. Then he had an episode, I think it was in preseason camp, where he had to go to the hospital and promptly got cut by the Bengals a little while later. And he's been hustling, trying to get a punting job again. In the meantime, he's been putting up these great entertaining videos of his pursuit, and it's been fun to watch. And all of a sudden he got the kick the other night in the UFL for the Birmingham Stallions, although everybody's living in Arlington, Texas. That's the way the UFL works, much like the what was the predecessor, the USFL or whatever it was. Everybody's in the same city. They fly into maybe different places to play games. But just, I caught up with Drew Chrisman again because he's a great example of just when you think you got it going in the National Football League, boom, the rug can be pulled out from under you. And that's basically the reason I'm alluding to that is the fact that of the draft that just finished over the weekend. And we're going to talk about the Buckeyes, Ohio State Buckeyes. I don't know if you call it a disappointing draft. I don't think there was a real big surprise on who was and wasn't taken, with the exception maybe I thought Steel Chambers would be drafted by somebody. I thought Josh Proctor, safety, might go in a later round. But just real quick, what I'm getting to here is, and I am beating around the bush because that's what I do, the 2025 draft could be quite the draft for Ohio State football. And don't get into the details yet, but I think you agree with me, don't you, Spencer? I think anybody could see that coming, even nearsighted folks.
Yeah, it could be, I don't want to say record-breaking, because we all thought Michigan would break the record this year, and they just didn't. I think the record is going to be hard to break. But it could be a pretty special class, especially with everything that the Buckeyes have coming back. The guys who elected not to go to the 24 draft could be special, Tim. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Of the guys that were drafted, no surprise where Marvin Harrison Jr. went and where he went in the draft. No surprise, in my opinion, where Michael Hall went in the draft. The only question was his inconsistency going to push him down a little bit? Did not. Cleveland Browns, their first pick in the draft, number 54 overall, middle of the second round, step up and take basically a native son. He's from Streetsboro, right down the street, pardon the pun, from the Cleveland Browns. And wow, that was a hell of a deal for Michael Hall and for the Cleveland Browns, I think, because I think it's a win-win. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it fits perfectly too, because he gets to line up next to Myles Garrett. And, you know, while Myles Garrett takes all of that attention away, there's Michael Hall, who's going to be able to have an impact right away. And I think he's athletic enough to make teams pay for double teaming and triple teaming Myles Garrett. I think it was about as perfect as he can get. Oh, by the way, he gets to go back home. What more could you ask for?
Yeah, exactly. Cade Stover to the Houston Texans, reunited with C.J. Stroud. He's pretty fired up about that. And I wanted to tell him, I mean, you know, 40 miles west of Houston are some of the great cattle ranches known to man. I mean, it looks like, you know, where the the long running TV show Dallas, which was well before even you were born, but it looks like it could have been filmed there, even though it was outside of Houston. He'll find all kinds of homes away from home down there. But what a great pickup, I think, for the Houston Texans. Cade Stover has yet to hit his has yet to hit his, as I call it, potential in terms of playing the tight end position, but he's already pretty damn good, right?
Yeah, that Tim is Dallas. It's actually Houston because he's going to Houston because he gets to meet up, like you said, with CJ Stroud. I said this on 97.1 The Fan. Those guys had me on Monday morning. He gets to learn under Dalton Schultz, who's a grizzled veteran in the NFL. He doesn't have to step in, be that number one tight end right away. And I would be stunned if Cade Stover lives in the city of Houston. I would expect Cade Stover to find a place on the outskirts, some sort of plot of land, and kind of plant his maybe even temporary roots there until he can retire and get back to Mansfield, where he wants to be on the farm. But it's about as perfect of a setup for Cade as anybody, especially even Marvin, even Mike. I think Cade went to a perfect situation, not only for the football side of things, but the fit culturally. He's going to fit in pretty well down there.
Yeah, I was gonna say he ought to go, go hang out with my baby brother who's 66 years old. But my baby brother, he's got a they live in a high rise on Gessner, which is in the west part of Houston. But they've got a little 12-acre weekend ranch in LaGrange, and he's got two Longhorn cattle on it because he just wanted to have them, and they're fun to play with. I'm not sure that's not playing with Longhorn cattle or playing with cattle is not part of the of what Cade Stover does. He raises cattle, right, for human consumption, and but yeah, he can find a home away from home. And Tommy Eichenberg, that elbow I think bothered a lot of people leading up to this draft. Everybody I talked to or experts in the NFL were concerned about that elbow and how long it's taken for that to heal. And sometimes you just got to let something heal, right? But at least he was drafted.
Yeah, I thought that, another situation that seems pretty perfect, right? Like, I think all four of these Buckeyes, sometimes you scratch your head and say, like, well, I don't know if he's going to the greatest defense or the best system fit for him. Tommy Eichenberg is going to play for Antonio Pierce, who was a hard-nosed defensive guy when he played football. He has coached that way and been kind of hard-nosed that way. Now he's the head coach in Las Vegas trying to establish a culture. If you need a culture setter, a tone setter, and a leader in the locker room, Tommy Eichenberg fits that bill pretty well. Oh, by the way, he's really tough. And so,
Yeah.
again, like, I don't mean to keep saying this just because they're Buckeyes. I don't want people to think I have scarlet colored glasses here, but like, all four of these guys really did go to really good situations for them. And it's on the teams, it's a credit to the teams for recognizing like who these guys were, who the personality fits are, and making that move. But it's also a credit to the players for establishing themselves in that mold, showing teams exactly who they are, so teams could pick up on those traits and then go after them in the mold that they want them. I thought it was a good draft for Ohio State, even though it was a light draft.
A preface with I thought Steel Chambers would get drafted. I thought Josh Proctor would go sometime in a later round just to give him a shot, just because I think physically he fits the bill from the standpoint of just his look, his ability to come up and hit people. But of course his injury history I think has bothered some people. The fact that we thought he was going to be a three and flee, instead he was a stay six, ended up being a stay six player at Ohio State. I'm talking about by years. What surprised you, or who didn't get drafted you thought might get drafted from this group, and why do you think it didn't happen for him?
I just think it's Josh Proctor. I didn't think Xavier Johnson was going to get drafted, but I do think he'll make a roster. Mayan Williams, the injuries, I think kind of caught up to him in the pre-draft process. Matt Jones, I think he's going to have an uphill battle. And Steel Chambers, I think Steel could carve out a role, but there's a not a really need for linebacker there in Detroit, so we'll see. But I thought Josh Proctor, the athletic profile, the way that he impacted special teams at Ohio State, even when he wasn't playing on defense, I thought could show folks what he can do as a member of a 53. The flyer that you can take with those sixth and seventh round picks, I thought a team would be able to just, almost claim him as theirs, so that way he didn't hit the free agent market and then go, choose to sign. Some teams will take a flyer on a guy like that. It's actually good for Josh that he didn't get taken because he could t pick his team and pick his situation, which we talked about, I think, on Thursday's live stream, Tim. But I do think that, just the way that he can impact games in different ways, and the way that we saw Ronnie Hickman go undrafted and then make an impact with the Browns last year, I thought teams would latch on and take Josh Proctor for the athletic profile. And I'm pretty surprised that that didn't happen.
He and Steel Chambers both. I mean, they're coming from a, obviously a defense that improved over the last couple of years under Jim Knowles, and played at a high level against in high level competition. I mean, that's what I guess that what bothers me about the way some NFL teams blow that part of it off. I mean, like it didn't like some of that experience. Well, yeah, but you've got this, this, and this. Well, everybody's got this, this, and this. And I will say this, even though you get to pick your team when you're an undrafted free agent, there's a commitment by a team when it drafts you to give you more of a shot, for want of another term. Kind of like when you compare guys who are awarded scholarships or are part of the 85 on a college football team and then the walk-ons, you're always going to lean to the guys you recruited and signed because you don't want to look bad, for want of another term. There, I mean, that's as much of it as anything else. Everybody can say there's a fair shot. I'm not sure I agree with that because you've committed to a person for a reason, and you want to see that reason come to fruition. So, yeah. But dude, we're gonna come back after this interview I had with Drew Chrisman. My second time I've done with him. He's sitting in his. As he's doing it, he's sitting in his hotel room in Arlington, Texas, because they practice, he and his team in the UFL, they practiced in that. Remember when we were down there for the Cotton Bowl, that old abandoned baseball stadium? Because the Rangers built a new one because they figured out after a few years that it gets really hot in Arlington, Texas, in the summertime. So they built a refrigerated facsimile of their old stadium. I think everybody who's ever lived in Texas knows it gets really hot in July in the middle of Dallas Fort Worth. But anyway, he's sitting there and he doesn't know what his future brings, but he finally got to kick a football in a real game. And yeah, people can make fun of the UFL all they want, a spring league nobody quote cares about. But when the players take the field, as he and I talked about, it's real football. These are guys all trying to get that one last shot or whatever you want to call it, the attention of the National Football League, where they really aspire to be. And in some respects, probably the intensity is more than an NFL team just because of that. So my little interview here with Drew Chrisman, let's get to that. And then you and I are going to come back and we're going to talk about what could be in 2025 for the Ohio State Buckeyes, the crop that could come out of the Woody Hayes Athletic Center vis-a-vis the NFL draft. But first, my conversation with Drew Chrisman. Boy, I was reluctant. I was a little bit reluctant. I reached out to this young man, Drew Chrisman, punter extraordinaire, video maker extraordinaire, video maker for the stars, or at least for himself, who is a star. But I was reluctant because the last time I did a video with Drew Chrisman on the Tim May Show. Bad things happened to him soon after. Just when I thought he had his NFL career cemented with the Cincinnati Bengals, he had an incident or whatever at practice, which I think meant you had to go to the hospital, if I remember correctly, right, Drew? You had to get something straightened out. And then, lo and behold, in the NFL, which is not for long, someone took your spot. And the reason I'm calling you now is because we're hitting a high point here because you're back in pro football. You punted the other night for the UFL. Wait a minute, what team are you playing for? I forgot.
The Stallions, Birmingham
The
Stallions.
Birmingham Stallions, based in Arlington, Texas. To see, I had Johnny Dixon on, and he was playing for somebody based in Birmingham, like last year.
He was with the Breakers, I believe.
Yes.
New Orleans Breakers. They were all based in Birmingham. Now everybody's in Texas, but we are the Birmingham team, so.
I've got a sense about this league, though. This sense is as solid as the rock. You agree? Huh?
I would agree with that one. I would
There you
agree with
go.
that
But hey,
one. You're right.
I just want to get into it. Do you hold it against me as being a bad luck charm for you? Because just when everything was going skedaddle, it went skedaddle. I mean, give people just a little update on where you are and why you are where you are. Go ahead.
That's a great question, and one that I figure out every week. Seems like something new. Ever since I joined professional football, every week has kind of been up in the air for the most part. And yeah, that's how this game gets you sometimes. You know, just right when you think everything's smooth sailing, you know, you make a plan and God laughs. So yeah. God had a good chuckle this past year or so, right? Pretty soon after we had our last call, and it was a very big growing experience for me, really. The first year that I ever went without playing a regular season game and my whole entire football career. And so there was a lot of questions, like, is this still it for me? You know, is the time coming? I got a wife and 2-year-old and another one on the way. You know, that timeline you have of what that dream you have to accomplish gets real tight in that window when you start bringing in those variables. So
yeah,
you know, we're thinking about a lot of different things, but still kicking on the side in case an opportunity comes. And then here I am in Arlington, Texas, and played my first game in just over a year now for the UFL, something that I'm learning on the fly. Rules are all different than the NFL, and it's been a fun, exciting learning curve this past week, and I'm having a lot of fun with it, and we'll see what God has planned next for me. But I'm really just taking it one week, one opportunity at a time at the moment, and right now just trying to make the best of it.
Yeah, and you know, if you bring God into the equation, you got to throw in thank God for the Rock, right? I mean, the UFL is there. You know, it's interesting because it does give guys a chance to stay in the game, you know, mm-hmm. to maybe prove themselves. And you for know, sure. not a bad thing, Drew, but golly, man, you couldn't have punted better for the Cincinnati Bengals when you got your shot at the end of the 2022 season. I think you agree with me on that, right? I mean, you delivered. And but just to show you how fragile it can be, you had that little session in what, preseason camp, or was it – I'm trying to think of exactly when it happened.
Right at the start of training camp there.
Yeah. And you had to go to the hospital. Can you enlighten people on kind of what happened in a nutshell? Or?
Yeah, in a nutshell, I've been dealing with something basically my whole life. I've had a little bit of an irregular heartbeat from time to time, and it's gone away after a couple of minutes, and then this time it didn't. And so we rushed to the hospital, tried to figure out real quick. Luckily it stopped after a certain period, and then I haven't had it since. And that's just the crazy part of it. But when you're talking about professional football and you're talking about the money that they are investing in guys, anytime there's an asterisk like that, especially in the specialist position, that's kind of a hard one to overcome. And that was something I dealt with really throughout that whole season. When I go to workouts, that would pop up on a physical and questions would arise and wonder if it was going to pop up again. And as much as I could assuredly say it wasn't, you know, the situation was what it was. And so I found myself just needing to get some fresh film out there of needing to do it again and not having that worries. And I was able to do that last night, and everything was smooth sailing. So hopefully we can put all that behind ourselves and get back on the horse. Maybe it's a stallion for a while, but maybe we'll find ourselves on another horse, maybe at the back in the NFL. So we'll see.
Ride, Chrisman, ride. That's all I got to say, man. Here's the thing. You can either punt or you can't, right? I mean, and by the way, the reason I brought it up is because the NFL draft was this past week, and everybody who takes anything for granted going into the National Football League, heck, even if you're a first-round draft pick, nothing's guaranteed. I mean, some money is guaranteed for guys anymore, but you know, I'm talking about from a career standpoint. Nothing is guaranteed, right? I mean, and everybody goes into these things bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. They got drafted, they got signed as an undrafted free agent, and the whole world's ahead of them. But boy, it just takes one moment, one phone call, one meeting in the general manager's office or the head coach's office, and you're seeking employment and or looking for another career. And you know, I'm proud of you for hanging in there, man. But it is a very tenuous situation, isn't it?
Oh, it's a roller coaster, and you will be at the highest of highs at times, and you will be the lowest of lows. You come from college, you know, you basically signed. Well, I don't know what it looks like nowadays with NIL. Guys are going to 3-4 different colleges now, but yeah. I signed up. I went to Ohio State. I put in 5 years there, and when I went there freshman year, I had a general sense of what my next 4 years was going to look like. When I got to the NFL, I didn't know what next week was going to look like, maybe even what next practice was going to look like, depending on how that day went, what kind of mood my coach was in.
Yeah.
So it was a big learning curve in that stance of just the lack of job security there is at that profession. Obviously, you know, when you're in it, things are great, but it can very quickly, you can find yourself on the outside trying to scratch or crawl any way you can to get back in. And, you know, typically your first rounders, those guys are pretty much guaranteed, maybe at least good 2-3 years to kind of figure out with the ball club, unless something drastically goes wrong. But those later round guys, those day three guys, I mean, they're fighting for a job. Just because you get that phone call does not mean you were going to be on that 53 by the end of training camp.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an exciting day for a lot of guys. But the welcome to the real world. It is NFL, not for long, like you mentioned earlier. I mean, the average career is 3 years. So don't think you got it. Don't go spend that signing bonus right away, because who knows when that next check is going to come. So
the average career. I mean, that's what's crazy. I mean, and that median, who knows what the median is in there, but like you said, not for long, because they're always looking for a better player to come in. You know, like Stan Drayton used to say when he was recruiting running backs at Ohio State, I'm always looking for a guy that's better than you. You know what I mean? And it's really interesting. Hey, by the way, let's move on real quickly. I want to ask you this. The great thing about you is I know what you're doing almost from day to day, because I watch every video you've ever produced. I think I've retweeted 95% of them. They're all PG or less rated, so that's what's good about them. I like the one couple that you've had your daughter in. I mean, they play extremely well. I don't know how many helmets you've busted where you've done that thing where you throw the helmet onto the field and then follow up. But that's a story for another day. I think a lot of people follow you because of that. But I know you went to the Steelers and had a little bit of a tryout in the middle of the year last year, right? I mean, I'm trying to remember you had a couple others, didn't you? Maybe I'm wrong.
I was, had a workout early in the year with Pittsburgh and with Arizona.
Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, both of those teams were kind of kicking tires after the preseason ended, kind of seeing who else was out there, kind of creating a short list. And unfortunately, I didn't get a call back to get a chance for one of those teams later on, whether it was the medical condition or they just didn't like what they saw that day. But I did have a couple opportunities early on, but then it was crickets. It was crickets the rest of the season. And I actually – I don't know if you follow my videos, and you know another job that I kind of undertook on the other side of the bench as the sports analyst for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey, brother, who was that with, by the way?
It's going to be very familiar, because I don't you may not know him, but it's very similar to your name, Tim Bray.
Oh, actually. Yeah, Tim Bray, sure.
He's kind of a legend from what I've come to understand. Seemed like anywhere we went, I mean, everybody knew him, and rightfully so. The guy was, you know, first class and helped me kind of understand that side of the game really from day one. And I had a lot of fun with him, talked a lot of ball, got to watch a lot of Bengals, and he helped me throughout that whole process and kind of waiting for a call there and kept me busy. And I'm sure that job is still open if I choose to do so this upcoming season, but hopefully we're putting the helmet on rather than picking up a microphone. But you know,
yeah,
hey, we'll see.
Hey, real quick, if you had to, I'm stammering because I'm trying to figure out exactly how to say this. If you had to put a perfect spin on, pardon the expression, because you punt, a perfect spin on the way things could go from this past Saturday night, I think it was, right, your first game back, until December, would it be, boy, you show out in the UFL and then somebody calls? Obviously, that's part and parcel to why you're doing this, right?
Yeah, no, it's that's the great thing about this league. I mean, there's no ball going on right now. Teams, the NFL teams, are making a lot of decisions, one in the draft and then who they want to bring into training camp. And this this league ends right before training camp starts for the NFL. And I remember when I was with Cincinnati, we brought in two guys from when it was then the USFL off a team, and they came through training camp, and they just finished a 10-week season in the USFL, and then go right into training camp with the NFL and play an entire NFL season. And so without having this league, that might not have been possible for those guys. Yeah. And so being able to get that fresh film and be on the radar of these teams is really the number one key of this whole timeline of how everything works. Because you go a year, 2 years without having fresh film, you're an afterthought at that point. There's two drafts that have been passed. That list, if you're not on that short list, it's time to move on at that point. So it's really a great thing that this league has come up with and be able to, one, put out a quality product. I mean, there are some quality games and some really quality players that are out here on Saturdays and Sundays still here in the spring. And then they're sending this tape to NFL teams and hopefully getting a call to continue playing the rest of the year. That is the ultimate goal. I don't know what my situation looks like next week. This past week, I was filling in for their starting punter. He banged up an ankle in the previous game. So this was kind of a just 1 week thing, get him through this week. And then the plan was the starter to come back. But I thought I put out some good things on the tape. So whether it be this team or another team in the UFL, hopefully I'm still playing the rest of the spring ball. That'd be the dream scenario. And then flow right into the NFL season.
Hey, how does it work though? If another team picks you up like this week, if you don't punt for the Stallions, the Stallions. Yep. Would you change hotel rooms? Are y'all on different floors? I mean,
that's a great question, because this is so all teams are based in Arlington, and any of the new guys that get brought in, you get 2 weeks in this hotel for free, and then after that they kick you out and it's like give you a $400 stipend a week and say, all right, go find somewhere to live, whether it's Airbnb or slumming it with another single guy.
Oh, is that how it works?
They're balling on a budget here for sure, and rightfully so. I mean, you gotta make some money to make this league work, and so they're cutting some corners a little bit, but for the most part, ball is ball. It's NFL without all the fluff of what you've come to learn. And if you saw my video the other day, we still eat good. You know, that was the number one thing I was worried about. Like what's the food situation going to be looking like? And, they feed us pretty good here still. So that's all right. But yeah, I don't know if I get picked up on our team, if I get another 2 week lease on this, hotel here, which would be okay. Put some more money in my pocket, save a couple extra bucks, but I we'll cross that bridge when it comes here, I guess.
Yeah. I think it's just so funny. I mean, not funny, haha, but just interesting, you know. By the way, I got a new term, balling on a budget. I love that. but it's just wanted to get to, man. You guys stroll into, I guess you flew down or bus down to Houston, to Rice Stadium. You know, you're in Houston, and, who'd y'all play on Saturday night?
Played Houston, the Houston Rednecks, not Rednecks. Jeez, I keep saying that. The Roughnecks. I'm gonna get in trouble.
Oh my goodness! You know, I grew up in East Texas, man. So in Lufkin, north of Houston, about 120 miles. I was gonna tell you, the very first NFL, not it wasn't even NFL, AFL, professional football league team game I ever saw was in Rice Stadium. We moved to Texas in 1965, and the New York Jets came to play the Houston Oilers. I think it was 65, might have been 66, but anyway. And Joe Namath was the rookie quarterback for the Jets. He was my childhood hero because he quarterback for Alabama. That's where I was born and raised before we moved to Texas. And Ernie Ladd log rolled him one time. This is back when you could actually hit quarterbacks. Ernie Ladd, professional wrestler, knocked him down and log rolled him. And we were sitting in the upper deck at Rice Stadium, which was a huge stadium. I mean, and it's funny, Rice is about as big as my little four and a half acre farm here, you know, Rice University. But that was a huge football program way back when. But I was just having this deja vu moment, you making your big comeback and kind of revamped Rice Stadium. But it was kind of a decent atmosphere, right? You don't get the big crowds, but it's real football.
Oh, it's real football. But the fans are great. It's a little sparse. It's not Ohio Stadium. we're not packing 110,000 in there. It feels almost high school-esque in a sense where my dad came and I'm able to hear my dad barking at me from the sideline.
Oh, man.
I haven't had that since high school. So,
yeah.
So it was cool. The fans were fun in Houston. But it's just people that love football. And I feel like that's who showed up to the game. And you see that with the players too. I mean, it's not like you're making a killing out here. Some of these guys are just playing ball just to love ball. And I feel like sometimes I was talking to my kicker today, we've been hanging out a lot, and he's had some experience in the pros as well. And we really feel like sometimes these guys play harder than the guys who are making the millions of dollars in the NFL. Because this might be their last shot. You know, they're fighting and scrapping for every single, you know, piece of film they can put out there of good things. And I saw some really incredible plays yesterday that I feel like some level of intensity in the NFL wouldn't even have reached. So
yeah.
I think they really got a thing going on here and merging the two markets, the USFL and the XFL, to make this UFL was a great business decision, and it's going to put a really quality product on the field for this year and hopefully many more years that this thing is successful. So, but gotcha. Yeah, Rice State was great. My sister played basketball at Rice too, so it was kind of special.
Oh, really?
For myself. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Did she go to Rice, or you just played a game there? She went to Rice?
Went to Rice, so I was very familiar with that area. After the Cotton Bowl in 2017, I want to say, my first ever bowl game, we just hopped in my parents' RV and we drove to Houston and stayed in and slept in that same parking lot that I played in last night in the RV, and went and watched a couple of my sister's first basketball games of her collegiate season there. So I've got a little bit of history with Rice Stadium too, actually. So it was quite fun to be back in Houston.
By the way, you know, that's where the Miami Dolphins clinched that within the Super Bowl. That's where they won their Super Bowl to clinch that undefeated season that's still hanging in there. Was that in that stadium? And number two, your sister must be a lot smaller than you, because Rice is an exclusive university to get into and graduate from. I'm sure she's told you that many times, right?
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna lie. She's got some brains on her. She's a PA right now, and she's doing quite well in the medical field. That brain of hers is gonna get her far. So,
by the way, it was originally known as Rice Institute. So that'll tell you what they think of themselves, and it has a wall around it. So that's interesting, also. Hey, last couple of things. You touched on it a while ago. How long does this string go for you? Because what I'm getting to here is, I've watched your videos. I know you can still pound the ball. You know, you can thump it. And you probably thump it better now than you probably ever have, right? Am I right about that?
No, I'm feeling good. Honestly, kind of having an NFL season off, really, I mean, the legs feel as good as they ever have. I've been able to kind of train on my own time and not be kicking, you know, 3-4 times a week, getting ready for a game every single Sunday. So be able to, you know, get in the weight room a little more and not have to kick and save my legs so much. So right now, yeah, I'm feeling as good as I've ever felt. And the ball was flying pretty good yesterday. And it definitely proved myself. The work that I've put in while I've had this time off here is kind of paying dividends now. And hopefully, you know, that's going to continue to keep showing up on the film and catch one of these GMs or special teams coordinators' eyes. So, yeah, I'm very happy with where I'm at right now.
Hey, and the last thing, you know, you got that shot with the Bengals a couple of years ago, and you delivered, you know, I mean, big time. What do you think what are they really looking for in a punter? Because there are a lot of quality punters out there, and some may be almost as good as you. No, you know what I'm saying. But is it, do you ever wonder what is it they're looking for? Or, you know, that would give you that, bam, okay, you're in it for 10, 15. You're Ray Guy now. You know what I mean? You know who Ray Guy was, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
But what do you think they're looking for in a punter?
I wish I could give you a cookie-cutter answer, but with how many different types of punting styles that there is now in the league, it's kind of a special teams coordinator to special teams coordinator kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, even just look back at Ohio State, going from Cameron Johnston to me.
Yeah.
He was completely different type of punter than I was when I came into college. He was a lot more of the rollout rugby style punt. And then I come in as a pure, you know, turnover spiral directional kind of punter. And he is now played. He's now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, had a great career. The Eagles went to Houston, is now with the Steelers and have had phenomenal success. And then there's about half the league that are pretty similar to my kind of style in that pro style sense. So
yeah,
there's not really one perfect punter that you're looking for. It could be easy to say, yeah, you want a guy that hits a 50-yard ball with 5 seconds of hang time on the sideline every time. I'm sure every single coordinator would like that. That wouldn't be a bad thing, but there's a lot of different kind of nuances that have been introduced to the game with the Aussies coming over and introducing a lot of variables, and then some other techniques that guys have figured out over the last 10, 15 years. The punting game has just completely evolved into really a beast of its own. And some of the things that these guys can do with the ball and make the returner's life miserable back there is quite impressive. And I personally, myself, I like to keep it simple, get the ball to the sideline, you know, fair catches and, you know, get off the field. But these guys are really evolving the game in this aspect. And you're going to continue to see that with some of these guys. Just the other day, we had a fourth rounder get picked out of Iowa, the Iowa punter, Torrey Taylor. I think he's got another chance to be one of those guys that changes the game. He's a guy that is able to do some pretty cool things with the football. And I think the Chicago Bears are going to have a pretty solid asset there over the years to come. But I'm just a fan too. I mean, I enjoy seeing this progression in the punting game. So as much as I love to be in it, I enjoy to see where the game has really evolved and go and headed towards. So
yeah,
we'll see what the ideal punter looks like in 10 years from now. You know, I can't really say that right now.
Well, I was going to say, but if you found that from team to team, who sets that agenda? Is it the special teams coach, or is it a coordinator, or is it the head coach, or is it the GM? Who sets, hey, we're going to go after this style punter. You know what I mean? You have to, and you know, and from year to year, that guy who's making that choice can also change. He could be somewhere else, but what is the secret there? Who's in charge, I guess, is what I'm saying.
It's the coordinator. Yeah, the coordinator, special teams coordinator, they're the ones that are making the decision on who they want for the kicker punter. Because at the end of the day, that's their job. You know, if they have a bad kicker punter, the media might look to the, you know, ask some questions to the head coach. But for the most part, it's rolling downhill to the special teams coordinator. That's who's going to catch the flag. If a kicker misses the kick or a punter shanks the punt, it's really at the end of the day their job to determine. So I was cut by the Bengals, but I was really cut by the special teams coordinator. I don't know how much of a decision the head coach had in that. It was really up to the special teams. I'm sure it's like that most places, from what I understand as well, most teams. So you make the special teams coordinator happy, you'll play there for a long time. As long as you're not, you know, a goofball in the media, then the head coach might catch, you know, some questions that he doesn't want to have to answer. Then you might be on the hot seat because of that. But yeah, as far as performance on the field, special teams coordinator is making that decision.
Yeah. Or is the head coach saying, I didn't even know that guy's name.
Sometimes that's the best way to be. At Ohio State, it was better to be, on the field and be invisible for the most part. If you be under the radar, you're doing your job just fine. So,
yeah. By the way, my last question, I'll get out of here, Drew. I appreciate you, man. You know that. When you took the field the other night, what did it feel like to be back out? Did you have nerves? Do you like having nerves? Did you have butterflies, which I guess is the same thing, but not necessarily? I mean, what did it feel like to finally get back out there and show that you're one of the elite at what you do?
Typically, basically throughout my whole career, I mean, especially when I've really, you know, dove into becoming the best punter as possible, I'd say in the past, there's been a decent amount of nerves when I walk out there, you know, putting a lot of pressure on myself, you know, knowing I got to hit this exact perfect ball to make coach happy or whatever. But I think having this year off or so, kind of taking a step back, seeing it from even a reporter standpoint and a fan standpoint, you know, the game's changed a little bit in my view, and I've been able to take a little bit more of a relaxed approach to it. So it was a lot more of just an enjoying process last night than it has been in the past. One, I didn't put a whole lot of pressure on myself because I'm like, What's the worst thing that can happen? They fire me. I've been there before. Yeah. I was been there the last year. So it was just kind of just go out there and just be loose and just really just have fun again. I think that was the biggest takeaway from last night, was just, you know, enjoying putting back on a helmet, you know, enjoying putting the strapping up the cleats, because now I realize it's not forever. It's not next week either. You know, just really try to be present in that moment, enjoy every single opportunity I got to go out there and run on the field and play the wonderful game that football is. And so I really did that last night, and I had one of the best games I've had in a year, at least, because that was the only game I've had in a year.
Yeah.
For better or for worse there, but yeah, hopefully many more of those to come, but anyone that comes in the future, I find I'm going to treat it the exact same way, because you don't know when that next one's going to come. So
yeah. Hey, by the way, any former Buckeyes out there with you? I mean, or against you last night?
Yeah, had Benjamin Victor and Marcus Ball, both on the Stallions. And actually, a shout out to I had a former high school teammate on the team as well. Played at LaSalle with him, Jordan Thompson. Wow. So yeah, there's Buckeyes all over. If you know, if the Buckeyes right now are itching for some Ohio State football, tune in the UFL. There's a decent amount of Buckeyes around, and
especially
on the Stallions. So come on to the spring league. Watch them Buckeyes fly around with the Rock. So
yeah, right. Hey, my last question: is there a reveille every morning? How do y'all? I mean, where do you people I think are curious about? Where do y'all practice? I mean, what have you figured out about the league so far? You've been there for a week or less than a week, maybe. Yeah. Is there a reveille for the whole hotel? Do they sound something over the loudspeaker?
Yeah, it's been definitely drinking from a fire hose, learning out this new process and this new league. From what I understand is, so all eight teams are based here, but they all practice in, there's four different pockets in this area, and they all practice at different places. Some places practice out of high school. We practice at Choctaw Stadium, which is the old Rangers Stadium they used to play. And so we're playing where the Arlington Argonauts, I don't know, there's a team that's
Argonauts,
something like that. Yeah. That's where they play. And so that's where we practice and they practice as well. They'll practice from like, I think it's like 10 to noon, and then we get the field from noon to two. So
gotcha.
We share the facility with them, the weight room. And then obviously my roommate, actually, whenever he gets back, he was on the Houston Roughnecks. I played against him last night. The guy that I've been bunking beds with here this whole week. So it's kind of funny. They just it's all kind of thrown together, and it just finds a way to make it work. And it's just really been a lot of fun. The guys are great. The guys just love ball. Like I mentioned earlier, they're just happy to be, like me, just be able to lace the cleats up again and take advantage of this opportunity. And, You still get that football feeling back when you run out there, and that I think that's the most important thing. So
gotcha. By the way, isn't it funny that that ballpark you're talking about, y'all practicing or playing, and they've got that beautiful dome stadium right next door? I mean, that's Texas for you, isn't it? They built that stadium.
I checked out a game the other day. The dome was closed, but it was cool to see fireworks go off in a dome environment there. It gets pretty rowdy in there. That's a good ball club there.
Hell yeah. And then of course, the Jerry World is right down the street there. So it's pretty funny. Hey Drew, I'll let you go, man. I know you got to get your sleep. You gotta be ready to go kick some leather tomorrow, but man, I'm pulling for you. I think a lot of people are. And number two, you know, it's going to turn for you, I do believe. And you know, I mean, I just had this sense. I wanted to get you on again, because this is a positive move, you know, for you. And I think you feel that way too, don't you?
Oh yeah. No, I mean, it's positive, but like I said, you never know what the future holds. And I've got to the point where I'm just, you know, one opportunity after the next. And I'm really not trying to look too far ahead in the future, because I don't know what that's going to look like. You don't know what that's going to look. Nobody knows what that's going to look like. So whether I'm playing football, you know, this week and DoorDash to the next week, you know, I mean, you just never know. I just, and take the opportunity that I have in front of me at the moment. So it's been a lot of fun being here this past week. If I'm not here again next week, maybe another phone call, like we mentioned earlier, pops up and I'll enjoy that opportunity. But no, it's always great talking to you, Tim. And yeah, it's always a great time. So I, mean, I appreciate you having me on.
I've always had a special place in my heart for you specialists, man. Y'all are different in all kinds of ways, but boy, as much as people want to, you know, put down a punter or put down a kicker or whatever, but boy, when you need one big time, right?
Oh yeah. Everybody wants to be a kicker and punter Monday through Saturday.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, Sunday, fourth quarter, 30 seconds left on the clock. Nobody wants that job.
Yeah.
So it's just the nature of the beast, you know, go out there and one shot went one, you know, one opportunity, one shot and take advantage of it. And, you know, life's pretty gravy the rest of the week, but it's a fun little puzzle piece that I've had to figure out in the specialist world for sure.
Gotcha. Catch a snap. That's always the first thing. Get the snap. And then go from there, right? Hey, Drew Christman, man, thank you for joining the Tim May Show again, my friend.
Of course, Tim. Anytime.
You know Drew Christman just like I do, Spence. I mean, he's an interesting guy. He's not just a bottle flipper. He puts out those videos sometimes two or three a week, but they've been extremely entertaining while he's sought another shot in the National Football League. And that's what I want to talk with you about now. You know, we went to that pro day, in the middle of March, late March at Ohio State. Was nothing like the pro day the year before. And in terms of the attendance of National Football League administrators, coaches, head coaches, scouts. I think you could almost count on both hands and both feet how many people were there, because it just wasn't the crop that everybody has come to expect, I guess, from Ohio State. Could have been. If several guys hadn't opted to return to Ohio State for 2024 to set the record straight or try to, right? But this coming year, 2025 Pro Day, it might be standing room only, right? Even though you have to stand anyway. But I mean, literally, it could be packed.
Yeah, I mean, there was no GMs and no head coaches at Ohio State for Pro Day in 2024. That's kind of astounding when you think about it. I would not expect that to be the case next spring, because there's just so many guys to watch. You know, there's a reason to be there. And I'm not saying that the guys who worked out at Ohio State in 24 didn't give them a reason to be there. That's not a slight on them at all. But GMs and coaches, if you're sending the full brass of a team, you've got to have a very, very good reason to go. And when you know Marvin Harrison's going to be a top five pick, Andy wasn't going to work out, and then the rest of the guys you can interview and do things with and host on top 30 visits, if you're really convinced that they could be a part of your roster, there's not really a need to go to that pro day. And, you know, a lot of those guys, if we're being honest with ourselves, Tim, to an Ohio State audience, a lot of those guys went to Michigan instead this year. And yeah, I think you can see the inverse next year, where a lot of the coaches and GMs come to Columbus instead of going to Ann Arbor, because the show is going to be in Columbus next year.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, I started saying this on all, you know, even on one of our videos, but on every radio and whatever show I was on leading up to the draft, everybody still, you know, gnashing of teeth that Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't work out. Well, you know, too bad you weren't there the year before when he put on a show. You know, he did work out. You had scouts and coaches leaving there uttering his name probably more than anybody else's. I'm talking about after the 2023 pro day at Ohio State. So, you know, should have been there, folks. But the bottom line is, you know, this draft went about the way we expected, with a few exceptions. In 2025, let's just go through the names. I'll start, and when I run out of breath, you start, right? But in fact, JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer both returned. Both have opted to return to Ohio State for the 2024 season. Two defensive ends, bookends, if that's what you want to call them. And then you got Ty Hamilton and Tyleek Williams. It's funny, there's that symmetry there, the JJ fellas and the Ty fellas, mm-hmm. On that deep starting defensive front for Ohio State, probably. There's a couple, and you throw maybe Cody Simon in there from the linebacker group. My favorite, just because I like the way this guy does interviews, Denzel Burke, Davis Enigbenosin, your two corners. The Ohio State draft picks are going to come from all quarters, it looks like. and you keep naming names now, but I think you agree this just defensively, you know, a team that couldn't play defense 3 years ago, now all of a sudden it may be, you know, it's the get rich. It could be the get rich quick spot for defensive players for NFL teams. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. And then you go to the back end, Lathan Ransom is going to be, you know, he's out of eligibility. So he's going. Yeah. Sonny Styles could leave if he has a stellar year and looks like an NFL draft pick or a high level one at that because of his athleticism. You know, CJ Hicks could also leave if he has a really good year. That's just on defense, Tim. And I think we just named all 11 starters except for Caleb Downs because he has to come back to college. And then you go to the offensive side, and I don't know if you want me to go through those guys, but man.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's why I handed it over to you. I was exhausted. Yeah,
it's Will Howard is going to be an NFL prospect. And, you know, he could have been a fourth, fifth, sixth round pick this year. What's he could do with another year in college learning under Chip Kelly and Ryan Day? Stay in the backfield. Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. I've seen Quinshon Judkins already listed as a potential first round pick. Emeka Buka is going to be a high level draft pick. Does G Scott have a year that puts him into consideration to be drafted? Or does Will Kaczmarek? Because he's eligible to leave for the draft. Go to the offensive line. Does Josh Simmons have a good year? Seth McLaughlin's going to be a draft pick because he played at Ohio State and at Alabama, you know, after that. Donovan Jackson. You know, if Josh Fryer has a good year at right tackle again, you know, I know I'm naming it almost every starter except for the guys who can't leave, but it kind of paints that picture, Tim, of how good this draft class could be. And it's not just that it's a good draft class. We've seen good draft classes at Ohio State. 2023 was a good draft class at Ohio State. So only six guys got picked. This could be a good but deep draft class for Ohio State, and you could see them get back into those double-digit marks.
Yeah. Yes, you know, I mean, I've covered Ohio State for a long time now, and I just remember Ahmed Plummer, I think, was the only guy drafted way back when in 1999 or the 2000 draft. You know, he was a cornerback. I remember Jeff Uhlenhake. You know, way back when was, I think he was the only guy drafted in the 1989 draft. Maybe I'm wrong. Might be the 88 draft. But my point was, there have been lean years, but those lean years usually point to a big time possible season coming. I don't think there's any debate that this could be one of those great seasons in Ohio State history, barring injury, barring calamity, barring an upset loss, which, you know, is always right around the corner for any major college football team anymore. But it does kind of heighten the anticipation, right, for the 2024 season, knowing you've got this kind of skill level, this kind of talent sitting there in one building.
Yeah, and you kind of noticed it on day three of the draft when, you know, I think there was a time where three or four straight Michigan players went and you got to hear, you know, Ohio State's favorite NFL commenter, Rich Eisen, kind of brag about the Michigan guys keep flying off the board. Well, we've seen drafts like that with Ohio State before where there's multiple day three picks and it makes the total on the draft card look pretty good. But in reality, you know, there's not those first and second and third round picks. I think that the inverse could be with Ohio State next year where there's a run on guys, maybe not first round. You've got to be, I think we're learning that more and more every year. You've either got to be a quarterback with a pulse or something really special to be a first round pick. But a second, third round pick, like you could see six, seven, eight Buckeyes in that second, third, fourth round range just in there. And then that's when the Flyers start in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round where guys are just kind of taken based on traits. So, you know, the talent assembled, the heightened expectations, all of those factors, you know, I think one thing I've said the entire, you know, offseason so far is Ryan Day understands what he's got right now and he understands what the pressure is, but he's kind of appreciating the pressure. I thought the 2024 NFL draft was a perfect example of that. There's no Buckeyes being called. And so it just heightens the pressure even more. But I think Ohio State is kind of learning to enjoy that, learning to live with that and kind of embracing it more than, you know, cowering in fear from it.
Hey, you know, name we didn't name, but he's headed into his third season. And who knows? Devin Brown, you know,
yeah.
once you become the pilot of an Ohio State offense and you don't screw the pooch, as the old saying goes, from the right stuff, you got a shot, you know, and I'm as interested as anybody to see how the quarterback battle plays out. Like I've said all along, you know, push comes to shove, you go with the guy with the most experience. If two, I'm talking about to begin a year, but Ryan Day has made it clear he probably wants to play at least three guys at quarterback as the season begins, because they're planning on a 16 game minimum season. You got to have somebody ready to go, a pair and a spare, et cetera. But past the quarterback situation, before we cut this off, who intrigued you most? The more you think about spring and who you saw rise and maybe fall, who intrigues you most right now going into the month of May that you're going to have your eye on through the summer, headed into preseason camp, that you think maybe people are overlooking on this Ohio State football team as far as being a factor?
Well, I'll keep it NFL draft related and kind of cross the paths here. In a weird way, because he was a starter last year and everybody knows his name by now. And if you couldn't pronounce it last spring, you definitely can now. I think this spring kind of serves as a springboard, if you will, for Davison Igbinosin. Like, he's 6'1", 6'2", depending on where you get your numbers. He's 190 pounds. He's super fluent in the way that he moves. He's violent and physical, which is what NFL teams fall in love with in the pre-draft process. He breaks passes up because of the length that he has with his arms. I love Denzel Burke, and I think Denzel Burke is going to be a good pro cornerback. But when you get somebody in the pre-draft process with those measurables, it will not surprise me if after another good year, if Davison Igbinosin is selected before Denzel Burke, based on the athleticism, the traits, and the production. And I just think that, like, heading out of this spring into the fall, if Davison Igbinosin locks down his side of the field and Denzel Burke takes care of his work, those guys could both end up being high, high-level NFL draft picks. And Davison stands to gain so much from this spring, the summer of workouts where he kind of can set the tone for everything, and then the fall. Like, Davison intrigues me so much because I think he's got first round potential, and no one really thinks of him as a first round corner. They all think of Denzel Burke, and we should probably start to look a little bit on that other side as well and not leave out Denzel Burke now, but just, you know, start paying attention a little more to the draft stock of Davison Igbinosin and maybe buy up some of that stock before it reaches an all-time high.
D.I., buy it now. You know, like I wrote that story. I mean, wrote that story right after the spring about the edge the corners played with in that spring game or spring scrimmage, whatever you want to call it. But the main reason was just watching Davison Igbinosin get after it. They were tired of seeing they were tired of hearing, I'm sure, about all of the offensive weapons and the new kid on the block, Jeremiah Smith, and the new quarterback, and right on down the line. And they came out playing football, man. And I remember Davison Igbinosin, I think he was chasing Jeremiah Smith into the corner on one certain corner route, helped kind of broke it up. But the point is, the glee he got from that, the satisfaction he got from that was palpable. I mean, it was like, this guy, any chance he gets to make a play, he's going to make one. And I agree with that one. The guy that I've got my eye on, and I just, you know, you just going to see this guy playing at full throttle is CJ Hicks. I mean, there's a guy. That's what intrigues me about this defense, Spence, is there are some real warriors, you know, out there that if they can get that consistency in under their belt, whatever cliche you want to use there, analogy you want to use, this defense could just be so much better than we've seen in the last several years. And CJ Hicks is part and parcel of that, because no, if he's in the vicinity, he's a playmaker. He wants to collide with whatever person has the football. And I saw more and more signs of him playing with a little more discipline this spring, the little bit we got to watch. But, right, I mean, he's just that colossal kind of player that if you can get the consistency right and the awareness right of where he's supposed to be, when he's supposed to be there, he could be something, right?
Yeah, for sure. He's built the perfect way. You know, he's like built in the lab, and then the athleticism, he might have lost a little bit of it, but I think he gained it back in the winter this year, because I thought he did look a little stiff last year at times, especially in that Purdue game. I don't know what was going on, but there was just a little stiffness to him on the field when he was in there with that second team defense last year. But this spring, I thought he looked back to the CJ Hicks that we saw dominating on recruiting film, and you know what he looked like in that freshman spring where he looked really fluid. Everything that he's done so far this offseason has shown me that he can be, you know, unleashed, as Jim Knowles would like to say about him last May, and then just didn't happen. Yeah. So, you know, it's a good pick. I think he's got the potential, and the fact that he was running first team linebacker with Cody Simon leads me to believe the Buckeyes think that too, because they wouldn't have wasted those snaps, you know, trying to get Sonny Styles up to speed if they didn't think the CJ Hicks was also worth first team reps, you know, there at linebacker.
True that. And all I would say to him, if I had any encouragement for CJ Hicks, it would be three words: cut it loose, you know, but cut it loose with a plan. You know, that's you can't just be running around out there waiting to run into somebody. Hey, I always appreciate you coming on. You know that, Spence, even though people think you don't like me, I know that deep down you really do, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I still haven't gotten my Christmas card from last year, but maybe it'll come. Spencer Holbrook, thanks for joining the Tim May Show again, man. You know what buttons to push over there in that co-pilot seat, because you and I think alike about a lot of these players. And like we just pointed out, ladies and gentlemen, the 2025 draft is going to look like a big time winter blizzard compared to the 2024 draft for the Ohio State Buckeyes. You agree? Correct, Spencer?
Absolutely. Green Bay 2025 should be a good draft for Ohio State.
Yeah. Man, can you imagine that? It's your time in the draft and you're going to the big city of Green Bay. But hey, it is what it is. It is what it is. It's one of the, not maybe charter members, but one of the longtime members of the National Football League. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, speaking for Spencer Holbrook, this is Tim May. Until next week, we'll see you then.